throat so they would consider these things. And that's what the message is tonight, is considering your motive or your mode of prayer. How do you pray? And there's a few things given to us here about the things that we should consider because God is considering them. And we'll start with that. Verse number one, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Now that should scare you right there. That's a deep thought. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the folks that are here tonight. Pray for those who are sick among us, those who are in quarantine, and just pray that you'd protect them. Lord, I pray for those among us who've lost loved ones, and then just the things that are going on around us in our world. I pray, God, that you would help us to remain faithful to you and consider exactly how we respond and consider what you see of us. I pray that you'd bless this message, give me unction, understanding, and how to convey the truth. And God, that as the hearer opens their heart and their ears, that you would that the Holy Spirit would use the truths of this psalm to speak to hearts. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, if you read the psalm in its entirety, it's really broken down into a couple of different sections. And that's why we stopped at verse number 6, because the first part of this psalm has to do with our thought processes in approaching prayer. And in fact, many of the psalms do this, where they give us direction and the way that we should think. Now remember, this is Old Testament, so many times we're going to look at some of the Psalms and you and I are going to consider them and it's going to be harsh or whatever. And that would be the case here, and that God abhors a bloody and deceitful man. Just so you know, that's true. I just thought I'd throw that out for you because I know how touchy-feely we are here, especially at Temple. So, but God does abhor. He abhors wickedness. And this is what prompted me to go back and study this psalm a little bit differently. Again, I've never heard the psalms preached through. I've heard different psalms preached, but never like this. And so it's speaking to me at the same time as speaking to you. Very unusual wording. First of all, he says, give ear to my words. You know, when you pray, you should really desire God to hear you. You should really desire not that he answer you, that he hear you. And so that's going to require some thought before you. Have you ever said this? I prayed and I don't feel like God answered. Well, here's my question. Do you think he heard? Did you go to him with intent to hear? Even when we pray publicly, we should know we're not praying for the people around us. We're praying to God. We desire for him to hear our words. And here's how intently David says, I want you to hear. And this is what caught my attention. O Lord, consider my meditations. Now, we don't need to go back there, but if you remember the first psalm, that's kind of the introduction to the Psalms. And we saw there in the first psalm, it talked quite a bit about what you're supposed to meditate on. David boldly cries out to God. That's what he says in verse number 2. There are several different ways he says that he wants God to hear him. But the very first thing that he recognizes about himself, and the first thing you and I should recognize about ourselves, even though we live in a dispensation where grace is extended to us, that we still are praying to the same God that David prayed to. And we're still, our desire should still be to meditate on things that God would like us to meditate on. Right? So isn't it amazing? It's interesting, and I've heard different kids pray at different times. And I think it's good. You should let your kids pray at meals. I think you should let your kids pray at night before they go to bed. You should teach them how to pray. And it's interesting to me to listen to them. And sometimes, don't we smile about all the things they pray about? Do you know why they're praying that? Because that's what's important to them. Thank you for the meal. Thank you for your word. I can only speak to, this is fresh in my mind today, Harrison, he prays for a bunch of different stuff. Every time he prays, it's for a different thing. I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting that he even thinks that way. And I've thought about the times that I've prayed even over my meal. And it might as well be, God bless us and bind us, tie our hands behind us and throw us over the defense so the devil can't find us. Because that's about as much sense as it makes. God bless this food to my body. Thank you for it. Man, I'm really glad for this veggie straw that Twilight packed in my lunch. It's so delicious. And I hate veggie straws, but thank you, Lord, for Twyla. No, I don't pray like that. I very rarely, and it's interesting, we want God to hear what we're meditating on when we're in trouble or when we need something. But David says, God, I want you to consider my meditation. Now remember this, meditation is something you dwell upon. Something you ruminate. Remember the cow? It's a chewing on, a reminder, a constant dwelling, a thought process. So he says, God, what I want you to do is consider. Listen, I want you to consider what's in my heart. That's a whole different kind of thinking whenever you're asking God to hear your prayer. Can you say when you pray, God, consider the things. Someday the election will be over. And when you pray for government, no matter, and I know I'm not speaking politically here, we are, according to the Bible, supposed to pray for peace. We're supposed to pray that we live peaceably, and we're supposed to pray for those who rule over us. That's what the Bible says. We're also supposed to yield ourselves to the laws of the land and so forth. And so, do you really want God to answer your prayer when you begrudgingly pray? No matter who, I mean, I know that people, you know, voted on all sides. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, let me just tell you how people think. The 71 million people that voted for Trump, this is what's going out there. The 71 million people that voted for Trump are all racists. That's what has been stated in this deal. Now, I'm not being political. I'm telling you that's how the world thinks. All right, catch this. God knows what you're meditating on. He knows for sure if you're meditating on something totally. That's why the Bible says, I know this is kind of random thought, but as I was thinking about this, that's why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 3 that a husband is supposed to dwell with his wife according to knowledge as the weaker vessel, as a joint heir with Christ, that his prayers be not hindered. You know why? God knows when you're bitter at your wife. God knows when you hate the preacher. God knows whenever you're mad at the person in front of you and you're, you know, praying for patience. God knows if you're listening to this message. He knows your meditation. He knows what we think. He knows everything about us. If you were watching football today, he knows, you know, how you felt about some of the plays. I mean, have you considered this thought process that David is boldly saying to God? He says, I know what I'm meditating on. God, would you consider my meditation? Consider what I'm thinking right now. Oh, that puts a whole different look at prayer. We often think that we're, you know, we do. We say random, I don't know, prayers that I don't, I just know how I pray occasionally. When I read this, I thought, this is, I don't put this much thought into it. Listen to the second verse. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. God knows if you have an other option besides him. He knows if you've already figured out your problem, you're going to do it your way and then blame it on him later. He knows the way that we, isn't it, this should actually free us to understand that when we approach God's throne, he already knows what you're thinking. You might as well tell him. That's why I love to hear kids pray. Bless mom and dad and papa. And at night they pray for Bubba and they pray for Megs and they pray for Henry, Sadie, and Lucy. And pray that we don't have bad dreams. And pray that you go, well, isn't that cute? It's interesting that you and I maybe used to pray like that, but we don't consider that that's the kind of prayer that God responds to. That's what he's looking for. Can you say, hearken unto my voice, the voice of my cry, my King? Notice that he addresses the King. He doesn't say, God of the universe. The first way he identifies him is the person who has the right to rule over the universe. The person who created me. The person who has the right to tell me how to think. The person that has the word, that has given me the word to dwell upon. The person that I should adhere to the word. I'm sorry, I caught something. I breathed in a gnat or something. I'm not sure. It's about to choke me. He says, my God. Not a random God, not some little G-O-D. He says, my God. Not Mark Ratcliffe's God. Not the Baptist God. My God. Not just the Jewish God. My God. This is a personal relationship, a personal cry. You go, well, Brother Ron, now we pray in Jesus' name. Do you think Jesus wants you to address him any differently? He is God. Sure, he says, and God, here's what you need to know, because I'm going to tell you, but I want, now notice he says, hear my cry. In the first verse, he says, give ear to my words. Does that tell you right there that prayer should be with your mouth saying words? Have you ever heard somebody pray, say, I can pray to myself? Remember, we looked at this in, I think it was in Psalm number 2, where the best prayers that are prayed are the ones that are voiced with our actual voice. Well, I pray to myself all the time. I'm too afraid to pray in front of people. Here's what David said. I'm not. He's God. He's my King. He has the right to hear my voice, to hearken unto my cry. Listen to what he says in verse number 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Have you considered why there's so many times the Bible uses the approach to God and his word and prayer in the morning? How many of you ever started praying at night, reading your Bible at night, and you fell asleep in your chair with the light on because you forgot to read in the morning when your mind's a little fresh, you know, after like 4 cups of coffee, but you're a little bit more ready to, that's why school is in the morning. Because your thoughts are not cluttered up. You know, by the time you get through, let's be honest, if you work a real job, by the time you get through a day, let's say you're sitting, you go, man, it's 8 o'clock, I forgot to read my Bible, and I go to bed at 8:15. And so that would be Twyla. And so, but she reads her Bible way early in the morning. So, it just, but she does go to bed at 8:15. And, but she's... at night you might as well forget watching anything with Twyla. It's dark. Her eyes close like this. It's like a turtle. I'm not mocking. I've watched it and I chuckle just exactly like you are. And And I'm not making fun. I'm just telling you, come on, that is our mind. Okay, I am making fun, but that is... Have you ever driven at night? Yeah. You should not be driving at that point. Jeff Paget fell asleep during the day one time and hit somebody. So, have you ever considered that morning is the time to do business with the Lord? There's a reason why. At night, we rarely finish. I mean, if you are going to save up all your prayer for night, you're going to go to sleep. Here, you did some big sin during the day. I'll save it up and pray for it tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you forgive me. You know why? Because anytime our prayers can be hindered, Satan loves that. And the longer you wait, see, we don't consider that prayer should be heard. We don't consider the importance of prayer. If I said we're all supposed to read our Bible every day and you should know the Word of God and you should be, you would say, amen. But if I said the Bible also says that you're supposed to put on the armor of God with prayer. Well, I mean, isn't prayer kind of asking God? It was Ben Franklin that stated, God doesn't help those who can help themselves. Actually, God wants to help those who can't help themselves, who can help themselves. He wants to be your God. He wants to be heard. You and I should choose a time, and I'm going to tell you, you can sit here and argue with me, but most people, even at 2 in the morning, you're going to doze. I mean, I know there are people, I'm a night person. That's great. But you better start your morning off with prayer, and you better start it off with the Word of God, because that's how you're going to meditate all day. Have you ever gone through the day a little bit? You go, man, I didn't even start the day with the Word of God, and look how mad I am at the kids, calling them little idiots. I am so frustrated. I can't control. Doesn't seem like I can control my attitude and my heart. And well, that's because you're not putting the emphasis in the same place the Bible puts the emphasis. He says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. That's not a demand. He's saying to God, you will hear me pray because I'm going to do it. He says, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Listen, with the attitude of looking up to thee. Why? Because you are the place that I'm going to direct my prayer. I'm not going to direct my prayer to people. I'm not going to direct my prayer to myself or to anyone else. I'm going to direct my prayer to you because I want to see your face. I'm going to pray until I know that I have contacted or I have come in contact with you. God, I want to pray because I know it's important. That's exactly what he's saying. I'm going to do it in the morning. It's not a while I'm driving to work prayer. It's a set aside time that you decide the Lord's going to hear your voice that day. I can't speak for most of you, but I assure you that is not my attitude about prayer all the time. Usually it's in passing. Usually it's when I need something. Usually it's when I want to give praise. And I say, God, I want to thank you for this and thank you for this and thank you for this. And I do try to take time and do that at least once a day. But as I was reading this, I thought, you know what? Have I ever said to the Lord, you will hear my voice in the morning because I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray with my voice. Well, Brother Ron, I mean, don't you think people think you're weird if you're praying? I mean, what will your kids think? Your kids will say, what is Dad doing? What is Mom doing? Well, they're praying. Why are they praying? What do they need? Nothing. They're just praying and thanking the Lord and speaking to the Lord today. You will hear my voice. You will. I can say this unequivocally. I've been raised in church all my life. I've been in church all of my life, and I can tell you I've never approached or heard anything approach to prayer like this, making a determined time in the morning to pray. We get this to read your Bible. Boy, that's the big one. But before you read your Bible, you need to pray and say, God, I got a bunch of stuff in my mind today. I need you to teach me something from your word. Please, God, I'm asking you to hear the thing I'm meditating on. No, Brother Ron, if you struggle with reading your Bible, you need to start with prayer. There are many, many, many people who end up needing counsel when all the counsel you'll ever need is in the Bible. But you know how you're going to see it? By saying to God, God, would you consider the things I'm meditating and change my mind about this? God, will you open my eyes up to truth? My King, will you please allow me today, as I'm reading the scriptures, to see the importance of me allowing you to be my King and my God today? He wants to hear your prayer. He does. He desires it. The problem is we don't desire for him to hear our voice. Wouldn't it be a bummer if you never heard your husband or wife's voice after the wedding? I mean, some of you are saying, no, that'd be a blessing. I know exactly who you are, too, and I can't believe you're thinking that way. Wouldn't it be weird if you never heard them say, I love you, I appreciate you, I'm thankful? Isn't it amazing how we can go through our lives and think, well, she already knows. What a dork. It doesn't mean she doesn't want to hear it. Now, consider God. He created you. He put you in America. He put you in church. He saved your soul. If you're born again, he saved your soul. It's just a horrible thought to think the last prayer he heard you pray was the one where you cried out to him for forgiveness. What a horrible thought. See, David said, I don't want to be that. You are my King. You are my God. I have a relationship with you, and I'm going to show it by voicing it to you. That's why we sing. We sing so God can hear our voice, not the people around us. We don't pick up our songbooks or look at the screen whenever we're singing. And you shouldn't be singing to the people next to you. If you sing in the choir, the people in the choir don't care how you sound. They think they sound good. Have you ever considered how we think of ourselves? That's what I'm not saying anyone here that I know of sings for their own glory, but I am saying we are self-absorbed. Some people like to hear their own voice, don't they? Have you ever talked to someone like that? And they go on and on and on and on. You're looking at me kind of funny. And you really love to talk, don't you, Brother Ron? You should see me at home. I barely say a word. I use all my words up here, which is a blessing for y'all. And so, or for Twyla. And so, but the truth is, God desires to hear our voice. I've never considered that God actually wants to hear my voice. He really does. It's a true statement. That's why David said, so you'll hear it. Verse number 4. But when he says 4, there's some things you better consider as you're crying out to God. First thing he says is, verse number 4, thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. When you come to God, don't come to God regarding iniquity in your heart. Don't come to him with evil thoughts or evil designs or evil desires or having done evil until you do business with him by asking forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but he's not going to do it if you're just thinking it. You got to cry out to him and confess it. So he says, God, I know you're not going to listen to evil. He says specifically, thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Understand to whom you're praying. You're not praying to your buddy. You're not praying to your wife or your husband. You're praying to a holy God who does not, listen, still to this day hates sin. How do you know? He killed his son because he hated sin so much. So don't come to God with the evil. Deal with that. That David says, I know that you don't want that. Verse number 5, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. So he doesn't say just the foolish. So you get to pick out who the foolish people are. Well, God's not listening to Brother Todd. I know he's not listening to the pastor. They're foolish. But when I pray, he listens to me. No, no, no. He tells you exactly who the foolish are. The workers of iniquity. Do you know what a worker is? It's real, I know, it's difficult. It's a person who does iniquity. They work it. They think iniquity. They have a plan. They have a solution. Listen, if you've seen anything in this world in the last few months, years, let's just say years, or in your life, here's what you know. People have an angle. Well, you don't go to God with angles. He knows your iniquity. He knows your heart. And he knows what you're meditating on. So God not only does not have pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with him, but he hates workers of iniquity. Brother Ron, you mean God hates sinners? He hates workers of iniquity. Well, why did he send his son to die on the cross? For us. Because he hates workers of iniquity. He wanted people to be right with him. It's pretty simple. Well, I'm pretty evil. Well, stop being evil. Why are you working iniquity? It is. Come on. I maybe I'm the only one who thinks this, but as I've meditated on this and studied it, there's something I know. I don't consider my thought processes when I go to God in prayer. And I am certain that it is not the practice of most of us to consider as we go to God in prayer that we are considering he's not a God who likes workers of iniquity. He hates them. And he's not a God where sin is going to dwell and where wickedness is going to dwell and where evil is going to dwell. You're not going to take your garbage with you and God just fall all over you because he hears your voice. I've prayed about hating my husband. That's completely irresponsible when you go, I prayed about hating my husband. The Bible tells you not to hate your husband. I don't like that. Well, too bad. Because God doesn't regard workers of iniquity. He doesn't like them. Well, if I go with hate for my husband, then God can forgive me. God's already commanded you not to have it. Well, I hate so-and-so. God's already commanded you to forgive. You can't go with iniquity in your heart. Again, have you ever thought, well, the Lord's not hearing my prayer. He's not answering my prayer. Have you considered the way that you go to him? Have you considered it? Or are you and I just the same in all this? We just think we ought to be able to go to God any way we are. I'm telling you, the biggest movement that has hurt churches today that's going on right now is that you can come to God any way you are and be any way you want to be and live any way you want to live because he's a God full of forgiveness. He is a God full of forgiveness, but he's also a God full of disregard for workers of iniquity. He's still the same God. He's not going to bless evil doings. That's why he says, be holy as I am holy. He calls us to that mind, that thought process. In verse number 6, he says this, thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Leasing is a worker of deceitfulness or lies. So consider this. When you go to God, he knows your heart. Is your heart lying to you about who you are? In other words, you've looked at or seen something in the Word of God that needs to change. But like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, you turn away and forget what manner of man you are or woman. Well, God has not forgotten. He's the one who wrote the mirror. You say, well, Brother Ron, this is hard preaching. No, 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 no. This is preaching of freedom because when we think like God, remember, the Bible is where we understand what God desires for us and from us so we can have a fellowship relationship with him. He does not want us to have this kind of relationship. And he doesn't want us to have a relationship with him that only sees him as Jehovah. He wants us to see him as Savior, Jesus. He wants us to see him as the Christ. He wants us to have a relationship with him and has designed it. Now, again, I'll probably say this almost every psalm, but consider this. David did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. You do. So here's what I know, because the Holy Spirit of God tells us about ourselves as we hear the truth of the Word of God. I know when I'm going to God with a deceitful heart. I know that. In fact, every time I go to God, I go with a deceitful heart, because that's what the Bible says my heart is. And it's desperately wicked. So I better look at the scriptures and measure my thinking, consider what God sees when I go to him in prayer, when I sit in church. God knows if you come to church to get a comfortable seat so you can sleep. He knows that. And again, lazy boys in video. I mean, it's crazy. I'm telling you, it's amazing. When you and I come to church, God knows why you're here. He knows exactly why you're here. He knows why you sing in the choir. He knows why you teach Sunday school. He knows why you might work on the security team. He knows why you work in the nursery. He knows why you do what you do in the church. He considers it as you should consider it. Not only that, he considers how you read his word and how you regard his word, whether you regard it higher than his name is upon the earth, as the Bible says in Psalm 138. He knows that how you think about the word of God. He knows about your approach to him in prayer. And if you're trying to wrangle and manipulate God to work your magic, prayer is not some magic formula. It's coming to a God who actually wants to hear your prayer with a heart that says, God, you're God. And no matter what the answer is, no matter how this comes out, you're still my king, you're still my God, and there is no pretense in my heart as I approach you, because I know something about you, God. Here's what I want to ask you this. Do you really know that God thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee? Do you really know that the foolish shall not stand in thy sight? Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Do you know about God? Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man, the man that uses his words to destroy, and the man that works deception to manipulate people to destroy them and becomes a bloody man. Do you really know that about God? Or do you just think he's just a good person up there on the throne with the long beard? He's like a grandpa. He's waiting for me to sit on his knee. I know he is Abba Father, but when we get a good view of who God is, how holy he is, how righteous he is, you know what we start doing? We start going to God in a different way of prayer. Not just the same old lackadaisical way. Because we begin to consider ourselves as we go to God. I'm telling you, every one of us in here, if I ask for a show of hands, you are in some kind of straits. Something happened. It's very bad trouble. What, no matter what it is, if I said, how much time did you spend in prayer? That, I mean, I know me. So if you're a normal person, you didn't just try to figure it out. You got to a point where you said, God, I can't do this. And you broke down, and God did something, and it was miraculous. But did you consider to whom you were praying whenever you went to him and how you were going to him? Did you consider who he really is? He's not a genie in a lamp that we rub the lamp and he pops out and grants us wishes. He's not waiting to hear our voice to come at our beck and call. Now, if you don't believe that, you need to read the Old Testament, because that's exactly how the children of Israel treated him. Judges is the perfect example, and it was their whole history. And God promised them, I'll hear you if you'll repent. See, that is the God who's waiting to hear. He wants you to come before him with a righteous heart. Do you know Ahab, right, in the scripture? This is fresh in my mind because it's in my Bible reading. And I was reading about Ahab, and I remember this. I mean, as I get to these parts in the scripture, I remember it. And I go, oh, yeah, man, it kind of is a good thing to be refreshed. Do you know God told Ahab, this is what's going to happen to you because you did it? And the Bible says that Ahab humbled himself before the Lord. Ahab. And here's what God said. See, Ahab's humbling himself before me, so I'm not going to do it to him right now. I'm not going to do it right now. That's the kind of God who wants to hear your prayer. He is a God of mercy, of grace, but he's also a God who knows exactly what you're thinking. Have you considered what you're meditating on? Have you considered who God is and the fact that you need to call on him more than just for your needs in the morning? He says it twice in that verse. In the morning, I'll pray and call upon you and lift up my face toward you. God, I know that you're not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, and I know that evil won't dwell with you, and I know that you hate workers of iniquity, and I know that you are going to destroy those who are deceitful. And God, I know you abhor bloody and deceitful people. I know that, and God, I want you to know that I don't want to be. I know what you think, God, because I see it in your word. Therefore, I desire to come to you in the manner that I should come to you. Now you go, Brother Ron, isn't that what verse number 7 says? Yes, verse number 7 goes on and says that, and there's a lot more there. But I'm asking you tonight, have you considered who God is, how you come to him, and what you think when you do? What do you think is going to be accomplished when you pray? Do you go on purpose, with a purpose? Have you considered who God is? Listen, he considers you. He knows exactly who you are. Would you give him permission to consider you the way that you should consider him? That changes prayer a little bit. Instead of being so flippant about it, do you pray for people that are unsaved and expect God to give you wisdom and how to witness to them? Well, you better make sure that your life is clean as it's walking before them, because they're going to consider it, and God knows who you are. We want God to do all of these things. Have you considered who you are before God? Well, I know I'm unholy. I know that I needed to be saved. I know. But have you considered how you live your life? I'm telling you, it's one of the areas that we very rarely think. In fact, this whole message to some, it's been want, 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 because we don't consider it, because many of us don't pray. But know this, God wants to hear your voice, and not just when you're at church, not just when you're in trouble. He wants to hear you every morning. Aren't you glad your kids, some of you have little kids, and they come up to you and hug you and tell you they love you? Aren't you glad that you have kids that do that? Some kids do it every time they see you. They missed you all night because they slept. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had that heart toward God? It's the exact relationship that he's designed for us. Does he hear you in the morning? Or are you too busy? Or do you have too many things going on in your life that you know God doesn't approve of, therefore you don't approach him? He does know. Have you considered that? Every head bowed, every eye closed.